Dads offer us something that goes against the flow of the world, okay? The world and our experiences with it, this fallen world, and even the enemy of our souls, is constantly causing us to back away from risk and to find a safe route, okay? And dads just kind of naturally, our earthly fathers, pull us into these crazy things. I mean, sometimes just watching dad do something stupid, but sometimes he's inviting kids into it and saying, no, come on, we can do this. Let's push beyond the boundaries here and see what we can accomplish. Yeah, you're going to have to kind of push through some fear to do that. When I was 13, my dad invited me into kind of a new way of experiencing fishing, okay? So in my younger days, it was wake up at 4 a.m., and you know, get ready, and you know, kind of in a daze, you know, and it's like not going to be light for like 3 more hours, and we go out and we'd sit in a boat and watch the sunrise, and then at a reasonable hour around 9 o'clock in the morning, the fish would start biting. Okay, now I still loved doing that, and I always looked forward to it when we were going to take a fishing trip. But there was an element that my dad introduced into fishing, which was this old English word called bushwhacking, okay, which is going out into the woods and charting your own trail, okay, and finding places to fish up in the Cascade Mountains where there's no trails to follow, okay? You're on your own in the wilderness, okay? And so he had heard from a friend about these really cool lakes kind of out there beyond anything that really had been touched, no, you know, logging, all that stuff just hadn't gone that far. So he told me about this, and I'm like, wow, this sounds like an adventure. Like, can we do that? We can just, like, drive up to the edge of the wilderness and just hike into it and explore. And so we headed out on these logging roads, and logging roads kind of got more and more primitive. There was washouts, and we had to figure out how to get the truck by there. And eventually we're driving along this kind of cliff side and another cliff down, and I'm looking out at about 2 feet of road in between our tires and the cliff. And the excitement started to turn to, like, Dad, do you know what you're doing here? Like, this kind of seems scary. And we hadn't even started the hike yet. And so it ended in this big clear cut, like, from years before. And it was starting to grow up with brush. And then there was the forest, okay? I kind of picture, like, this picture of the forest before us. And I'm kind of like, yeah, like, there's no trail. Like, where do we go? And this was before cell phones and GPS and all that stuff, so we've got a map. And I think my dad had a compass. I don't know if he had a compass with him, but we pack up, and we've got heavy bags because we're going to spend the weekend out in the wilderness looking for this high mountain lake with this incredible fishing that we've heard about. So we head into the woods, and this isn't just flat terrain, right? There's ravines, there's big rocky peaks. And we get, you know, it's kind of when you're brushwhacking, you kind of get into this phase of it's very easy and tempting to work your way downhill, okay? It's just, oh, we got to get around this brush here and this log, and it's easier to just kind of work your way downhill. And before we knew it, we'd worked our way down into a ravine, way down into a ravine. And my dad realized, and he's getting the maps out, that we actually have to get back up out of that ravine and over the hill and keep going. And I've got this big pack, so now I packed all this weight down into this hole, and now we've got to climb out. And it was grabbing roots and branches and pulling our way up, almost like rock climbing with branches. About halfway up, I started to get really scared. I'm looking at the fall, if I slip, and I'm looking at how far I got to go, and I got to get all this weight up there, and I'm like, Dad, I can't do this. Like, this doesn't feel like a good idea anymore to go off the trail. There's a reason for trails. And he's like, well, just take your pack off, and we'll get to the top, and then I'll come down and get your pack. And I just was like, we got to push through this. I saw in my dad this perseverance that it's going to be worth it, Jeff. The fishing's going to be incredible. There's going to be this beautiful lake that we have to discover. It's not an easy path. So we kept pushing on. We got up that out of that ravine, and we came across a few more obstacles and creeks and things we had to get across. And then we came in to an opening in the mountains. And there's this beautiful high mountain lake. So clear, see, that's the bottom of the lake right there. You can see right out into the middle, you can see the bottom of the lake, and you see these black fish just schooling around in there, and we immediately got our fishing gear out, and that first lure hit the water, and you just see these black darts coming from every direction towards the lure. They've been waiting for years for something to chase, something to do. And you could see that fish fighting your lure under the water, and it was amazing to me that these places existed with no cut path to them. Most people in this state will never know. And if I have anything to do with it, they'll never find this lake. I'm not going to say the name of the lake. Okay, but they're out there. And I encourage you to go find them. With your dad, okay? Don't go out there by yourself. But that opened up something, so this idea to me that kind of fought against this risk aversion, okay? And I actually needed my dad to take me to the next step with that, okay? Because the scary road would have stopped me to begin with, but he kept driving, okay? And then getting down in that ravine, it would have been, yeah, I'm hiking out of this ravine, but it's going to be back to the truck because there's probably another ravine that we're going to hit. So let's get out of here. And my dad pushed me and pushed me to the reward of discovering that. Dads do that naturally. That's why there's all these videos on the internet of crazy stuff happening, because it just, that's what dads do. It's just built into them. And that's what God does really in our lives, is he's constantly inviting us in to risk in our lives. Why is he doing that? Why do dads invite us to risk? Why does our Father, God, invite us to risk? It's because he's maturing us. He actually wants us to grow up to be like his son, Jesus. Okay? Ephesians 4. That's like the goal, is he wants us to grow up to attain to the fullness of Christ in our life and how we live. So let's talk about maturity for a minute. Not just growing up maturity, like we celebrated some students who are moving to the next level, and they're maturing in many different ways, even in spiritual maturity. But let's just focus on spiritual maturity, which is what God's after in us. Okay? Spiritual maturity is something that you kids could actually pass some adults in. Okay? I know kids who are more spiritually mature than some adults. So what makes somebody spiritually mature? Like, what are some characteristics of a person that you would say has a level of spiritual maturity in them? What would you expect to see from them? You can call out your answers. Thinking. If you were to say someone is spiritually mature, what's an attribute or a characteristic? Patience. They would have a level of patience. Okay?
Trusting God.
A level of, they trust God with their life and their decisions.
Confidence,
somebody said. Okay. That's good. Integrity. Yep, they would have an integrity. Their lives would align with God's character.
Relinquishing control.
It's good.
Kindness.
Mm-hmm.
Selflessness.
It's good. So we're naming like characteristics of God, really, that he's bringing us up into. So maturity doesn't necessarily mean we're more serious, does it? Spiritually mature, does it mean you become more serious about everything? Does it mean you learn how to avoid risks? Maybe. I think so. Not all risks are good. Don't hear me saying that this morning. There's a lot of proverbs in the Bible that teach us about wisdom and how to avoid folly, how to avoid trouble by making wise decisions. But I wouldn't say a spiritually mature person avoids risk. Let's look at James. James is a teacher in the Bible. He's a follower of Christ, and he teaches us something about a path to spiritual maturity. And here's the elements that are involved in that. Consider it pure joy. So first off, we're considering it actually something you want, okay? So if spiritual maturity is something you want, you're going to consider it pure joy to take the path towards it, okay? Because it's something you want to attain, okay? Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. This big word here, perseverance, patience, endurance, sticking with it. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. That's what we're trying to get to, mature and complete, not lacking anything. Okay? So trials, risks, danger, difficulties. Not saying God puts all those things in your life, but he uses them in your life, and they cause you to make a choice. You have to make a choice in those situations if you're going to lean into faith or you're going to lean into fear. Okay? You can't choose both. You really can't have both. Okay? So the fear, you could have fearfulness, but you go to God with that fear and say, God, I'm giving you my fear. I'm going to trust you in faith in this situation. And he can walk you through that. Okay? Doing that in the trial produces this kind of faith that perseveres and endures. Okay? And then that leads to maturity. So that's kind of a path that leads you to it. We could say an attribute of spiritual maturity is a faith that holds strong in the face of difficulties. Okay? That's one of the characteristics, along with a lot of stuff you guys said. So what does that look like when God does that in your life? Okay? Dad might have built a jump, you know, out of a bag of concrete and helped you jump over it, and he might have showed you how to do it first, or how not to do it. But what does it look like with God when he invites us into risk, which is really maturing us? I want to look at, just tell a few stories this morning. I'm super excited the kids are in here this morning. Just going to tell some stories about our dad, God, and how he fathers us. So there was this guy named Peter, okay? And Peter was one of the followers of Jesus. And he was one of the people that Jesus said, Peter, I want you, after I die on the cross, after I raise back to life and go to heaven, I want you to help establish the church. You heard Nick talking about the church and what the role that the church plays in our life, the body of Christ. I want you, Peter, to do that. Well, he didn't just go straight there with Peter. He actually had to father Peter through a lot of different risks that he invited Peter into. First one was when he first met Peter, and he was asking Peter to follow him. Well, that looked like Jesus on the edge of a lake and all these people crowding around. They wanted to see Jesus. They wanted to hear what he had to say. And he was actually being forced back almost to where he'd have to go into the water. Okay? Because all these people are crowding around. And so he looks over and Jesus sees a couple boats there. And it was Peter's boat, his fishing boat, and his partner, John. They had their boats there. And he's like, hey, Peter, can we get in your boat and like go out in the water a little ways and then I can speak to these people on the bank. And so they went out a little ways and anchored down. And you know how when you're in a boat, you can hear really well when you talk. So Jesus is out there and he teaches all the people, okay? He gets done teaching the people and he kind of turns to Peter and he's like, okay, first risk, fathering, let's go do this. He's like, hey, Peter, let's go out in the lake, deep out in the lake and put the nets down to catch something. Well, early in the story, the Bible describes that Jesus saw Peter and his partners, his fishing partners, cleaning all their nets because they'd been out all night fishing and they didn't get anything, okay? And they do this for a living. They know what they're doing. They got nothing, okay? And they just cleaned up all their gear and put it away, and now Jesus is like, hey, get all your gear out. Let's go fishing. And Peter's like, we just tried all night and didn't catch anything, but because you're asking, we'll go out and do it. And they go out there and put down the nets, and immediately they feel that, just that tension on the net. And at first, it's just like, oh, wow, we might actually catch. Oh, hold on. Hey! And they start calling to their partners to come out and help them because there's so many fish in the net that the net's ripping and breaking. Okay? And so that John comes out, James and John come out with their boat, and they fill the two boats so full that the boats are starting to sink. And they start their way back to shore before they sink. And they just get that back. Everybody on the shore is astonished and amazed. Like, what just happened? Peter is like freaked out. And he's like, forgive me. Like, he's realizing this is the power of God that I just witnessed. And then Jesus said, now leave all this stuff and come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. You will catch people into the truth of God to follow God with their lives. And Peter does it, okay? Second risk, boom, right there. Leave everything. He walks away from this big catch, and he follows Jesus. And then story after story in Peter's life, and we don't have time to go into all of them. Another one, though, is later on, this fathering moment with God again. You know, dads do crazy stuff and they invite their kids into it. The disciples go out on the lake to cross the lake and the wind's working against them and they're not making good time. Well, Jesus didn't go with them. Why? Because he wanted to hang back and then walk out on the water to them. What does that have to do with anything? He's just being a cool dad. Okay? So God comes out, Jesus, in power, and he's walking on the water. And I don't know what that looked like exactly. You know, movies and stuff make it look like he's some kind of zombie glowing white and he's just walking. I think he's just walking out on the water towards them. And they freak out and they're like, oh my goodness, it's a person walking on the water. It must be a ghost. And Jesus is like, no, it's me. And Peter's like, well, if it is you, then ask me to come out there. And Jesus is like, come on out, Peter. And he steps out onto the water and Peter takes that risk. This walking on the water, what does this have to do with anything? It has to do with risk and fear and stepping out in faith. And that's what God's doing, is he's maturing Peter. Even through this, just this challenge. You know, climb the tree, take the training wheels off the bike, walk on water. And Peter does it, and he walks on the water. And then he gets afraid, and he looks away, and he starts to sink. Jesus catches him, says, why did you doubt? They get back in the boat. Okay, fast forward now to when Jesus is arrested, because Jesus is going around claiming to be God. And you know what? He is. But the people didn't believe it. So they said, we're going to kill you because you're saying you're God. We're going to crucify you on the cross. So they arrest him. And then this little girl sees Peter. Now imagine you're one of Jesus' closest friends and followers, and you believe in who he is and what he's doing. And now he's going to be killed for that. And so Peter's like, this is scary now to be a part of Jesus. This feels really risky now. Like, they arrested him, and they're talking about killing him. And so this little girl comes up, and, hey, aren't you Peter? You're a good friend of Jesus. No, I'm not. I don't know who Jesus is. Get away from me. Three different times he does that. Okay, so Jesus is crucified. So Peter didn't step into that risk. Jesus is crucified, raises from the dead, overcomes death, and goes looking for Peter. Where's Peter? I'm going to go find Peter. Oh, there's Peter. He returned back to fishing. He went back to what he knew best. I think Peter was afraid. But when Peter saw Jesus and knew that it was him, jumped in the water, was so excited to see Jesus. And guess what Jesus does, like a good father? Time to get back up on the horse, Peter. Okay? He tells Peter in that conversation that one day Peter's going to die for his faith because he believes in Jesus. Okay? Ultimate test of his faith. Okay? The test that Peter failed before. So he told him, Peter, I know you love me, and I love you. There will come a day where you'll be led away, and people will hurt you, and people will kill you because you love me. Now, and then what does he say? Now follow me. And Peter has to decide again. Father's kind. We fail sometimes when he gives us a risk and we don't step into it, but he comes back around if we'll let him father us, and he offers again. And Peter says yes. And then you can read the book of Acts in your Bible, and it's all the stories of how Peter walked out spiritual maturity because of those risks that the Father gave him that he stepped into. And he walked with God, and God used him to start the church. And he had achieved that spiritual maturity through risk, through stepping into what God was calling him to do. Has God ever called you to risk? Has God the Father ever invited you to risk in some way? I'm pretty sure he has, because he's trying to father you. And I'll tell you one of the rarest things to find. You might be here this morning and you're trying to decide, do I even believe in God? Do I believe this Jesus who came down to earth as God, died for my sins, because my sins were separating me from a holy God who had no sin, and he took that payment for me. And so I'm going to give my life into his hands and let him lead me. That might be the riskiest thing that the Father's inviting you to this morning. Maybe you've been a believer for a long time. You've made that step, and there's something that he's challenging you with. The rarest thing that you'll find is somebody who actually lets, and this is from years of ministry, the rarest thing you'll find is someone who actually lets God father them. Okay? It's one thing to receive Jesus as your Savior. Okay? That's a huge deal. Super critical, and that's the starting point. Okay? And even to say, God is my Lord, he can tell me what to do. He can lead my life. He's in charge. Okay? But there's a deeper level. Both of those things have to happen. Those are critical. That God wants to get to, and it looks like fathering. Because he actually wants to grow us up into maturity. He doesn't just want obedient children. He wants a relationship with his children. And he wants mature children. Okay? Somebody who's immature can obey. And you might argue with me in that, but if you're scared enough of your father, you'll obey. And sometimes there's a place for that. But what God wants to get us to in a relationship with him is that we're actually following out of relationship and love. And that's where maturity starts to come in. Like, we actually choose to step into the risks that he's offering us to take because our faith is that persevering faith, that lasting faith. There's an interesting thing that God's trying to get to with fathering. Okay? Look at what Paul teaches us about this idea of God as father. He says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but when you received Christ as your Savior, you actually received a spirit, the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, and it's the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba," which is an endearing term, like saying dad, father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So the father heart of God is actually rooting out fear in your life. So if you're asking that question, you know, where is God calling me to risk right now in my life? A good way to get there, a good way to find that is to say, where am I experiencing fear right now? Okay, dads in the room with your kids. How is God wanting to use you in their lives right now? Where are your kids experiencing fear? How would God want to use you to help them overcome that fear? Well, at that same process, God wants to do with you, with each of us, is to overcome fear. So for me, what that looked like, some examples. When I came to Christ, when I said, you know what, I believe Jesus died for my sins, he wants this relationship with me, and I believe he wants to be my father and father me, I was in high school. Okay? So I kind of stepped out even from where my family was at. They believed in Jesus. They believed in God. They were believers. And we were going to the Catholic Church, but I entered into this relationship, this interactive, like hearing God lead me through his word, through the Bible, and also directly giving me instruction, calling me into risk, kind of like Jesus saying, hey, Peter, come out on the water. And the first time I really remember that was in my science class in high school. And for months, I'd been listening to my science teacher talk about all these reasons why God couldn't exist, and we've got all this scientific evidence and mathematics prove it, and da-da. And now I've entered into this relationship, and the father just said, hey, son, why don't you speak up for me? Why don't you say something? And my heart's beating in my chest, and it felt like a huge risk because all my peers had never seen that side of me at all because I've been afraid to kind of show, you know, this relationship I have with God. And I knew the science teacher was going to be mad because he's gotten used to just everybody sitting there and taking it in. So respectfully, I didn't feel like God was telling me to disrupt the class, but it's what wound up happening. I raised my hand, and I challenged some of his views. And my peers looked at me like I was weird. And my science teacher got really mad and red in the face and yelled at me. But it was the most wonderful feeling I'd ever had because I just stepped into risk. God just fathered me in something, and it created this trial that I had to persevere and have faith in. And man, I was on a new course after that. That set me on a course to just be like, God, what else do you want me to do? Which was a daring question to ask. Later on in my 20s, I wanted a wife. I wanted to get married. And so I tried dating, and that was an ugly experience. There are some bad stories there, and thank God I don't have time to tell them. And all the while, I could hear God in the back of my head saying, the Father, saying, Jeff, would you trust me with this journey? Would you trust me? And that actually felt like risk. You'd think, oh, that feels like the safe route, Jeff. Why wouldn't you do that? Now, that felt risky because I felt like God was saying, would you trust me even if I said you're going to be single the rest of your life? Could you actually truly trust me and find joy that I know the best for you? Finally, I got to that point, and I trusted him with that. And I was able to come in that place of laying that down and stop trying to make that happen and actually find contentment with whatever he had. And eventually, he actually did give me a wife, and a wonderful wife. It doesn't always work out that way, but the important part is I actually found that I could have contentment in whatever he had for me. Another quick story. So we're kind of progressing through just risks that God invited me into. Now in my late 20s, early 30s, God reminded me of something really bad I did when I was a teenager. I know you're probably thinking your pastor never does anything bad. Well, this was before I was a pastor. No. I still make mistakes as a pastor. But when I was a teenager, my friend and I thought it'd be a really good idea to break into our neighbor's shed. And I stole some soup from my neighbor's shed. Isn't that a stupid thing to do? It was a really stupid thing to do. Well, guess what? 15 years later, God reminded me of that. And he said, I want you to go back. Why are you laughing, Stanley? He told me to go back to that house and pay him back for the soup. I'm in my 30s. That's scary. First off, I tried to rationalize, no, there's no way, there's not the same people living there. And then I thought, what if it is the same people and they turn me in and I got to go to jail for stealing soup? So I calculated it was about $5 worth of soup that I took. I got my $5 bill. I'm like, God, I'm going to trust you with this. This isn't about making everything that I'd done wrong in my life right and keeping track, and I'm going to go back and Jesus did that. He paid for all my sins. I didn't need to do this to be forgiven. I needed to do this to follow the Father into spiritual maturity and trust where he leads me. So I went back to that house with my $5 bill, and I got some really strange looks from the person who came to the door, and they were the same people. And I told them what I did, and I handed them the $5 bill. And they were just like kind of speechless. And I said, this is just God's doing a work in my life. He told me to come take care of this. And they tried to not take it. I'm like, no, you have to take this, please. You know, I don't know what God's going to do to me if you don't take. No. So it really wasn't, I didn't feel condemned either. I felt like God's calling me into risk. So this morning, I just want to ask like that question. Wow, I probably should use my notes. I want to ask that question of you, okay? You're going to ask that question. Father, is there an area of my life where you have been inviting me into risk? I think for Father's Day, the best gift that we could give the Father, God, is to let him father us. I think that's what he wants more than anything that we can give him. For those of us who have a dad, you know, kids, you're still being fathered by your earthly father, to let them father you. But as we take that question to God, the Father, there's an area of our life. Where's the fear coming up? Where is he calling us into risk? He's not mean. He's actually wanting to grow us into spiritual maturity. So, Nick, you can come up, and the worship team. And I'm going to pray for God to kind of reveal that to us. I believe that he speaks to us. You know, the other day, oh, you don't need this. The other day, I was journaling in my journal here and letting God father me. And I just asked him the question, Lord, what do you want to speak to me? What's up? What's on your heart? Just no agenda. And I really believe that that's part of the fathering journey with God, is making space to just ask him that. And he actually spoke to me this. Let's see if I can. There it is. I said, okay, Lord, lead me. And I felt like I just heard this in my heart, okay? Not this weird voice. The room didn't shake. His Spirit lives in us. You can hear His Spirit. It's right there. It's not like His Spirit's just like quiet your whole life, living in you, like, what do I do now? He actually wants to lead you. He wants to speak to you. And I heard this, do you believe I do miracles still? I thought, wow, that's kind of an interesting question. And my response was, good question. I don't live like it often. Because I knew the head answer would have been right. Say, yes, Lord, you do miracles, because I've seen them. And then He said, when you believe it, you live like it. And I didn't take that as a condemning thing. He was calling me up. Because there are some things that He's been calling me into that require risk and faith. And He's wanting me to step back into that. So I said, what do I do about this, Lord? He said, choose to believe and act accordingly. Pray, do, hope. And the next day when I revisited God and just opened the journal, He unpacked all those words and what they meant and what it looked like for those challenges that God's been putting in my life, where He wants me to live like I actually believe He does miracles, because I do. It's just a fathering moment. And I honestly believe He wants that for each one of us. And many of you experience Him in that way. But you got to make space. You got to be the rare exception that lets God father them. He is your father situationally, positionally, if you've received Christ. But you have to actually receive. You have to make the choice to receive the relationship and the effect of that on your life. So let's pray. Lord, thank You for every person in this room. Father, You've impressed on me Your huge, wonderful, warm heart as a father for each one of us, from the youngest child in here to the oldest. You want to father each one of us in areas of our lives. We weren't raised by Jesus. Our earthly father is not perfect, and we're not perfect sons or daughters. But for the rest of our lives, You're going to father us, God, in those areas. So I just pray that You would reveal that to every heart in this room right now, the area that You're getting to in them, that You're calling them to risk and to let You father them. And may it just be on their heart and mind throughout this day until they respond and get away and find a place to really listen to You in that and listen for the next step in that. I just honor the fathers this morning. It's a tough job, Lord. I pray that You would strengthen them for that, Lord, to not only keep their heart alive and being fathered by You, but be able to invite their kids into that. Thank You for the dads in this room. And so we just move forward this morning, and we choose to say in our hearts, yes to Your fathering influence in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, it's who You are, it's who You are.